Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 1st. And a pretty mixed day on stock markets today, but it did start off in pretty good form in Asia this morning, and not least because a number of the ASEAN currencies were really quite firm today. So that enhanced their attraction to foreign investors, but also helped to ram home the point that the dollar has performed markedly different versus emerging market currencies this year than it has against developed market currencies. And you can see that when you look at the Asia Dollar Index and that performance, where it does have quite a clear high reaction low now, and that's the first one that it's had since 2014. Relative to what we've seen in the dollar index, which has been a largely range-bound environment, and the dollar continues to be relatively steady there and was up a little bit further in here today. So the dollar index is up to 95.75. When we look at some of those ASEAN markets, then that's where we're seeing plenty of evidence of relative performance, but also the fact because their currencies are appreciating, we're getting capital market, currency market appreciation concurrently, and that's the kind of recipe that foreign investors like to see. Hong Kong is also worthy of mention here. It was up 1% in here today, and that is seeing the Hang Seng breaking away from the region of the moving average, and it has now broken its progression of lower rally highs. The H share index hasn't quite broken it yet, hasn't quite pushed above the 200-day moving average, but it's right there in the region, and does look more likely than not that it is going to be able to move higher from here, and not least because Hong Kong has got some of the lowest valuations around. The mainland Chinese market was down a bit in here today, but that was still, it closed way off the low on Friday, and this continues to look like support building overall. The other big factor in here today was the relative strength of commodities, and we're seeing the industrial metals all firming in here, and that's particularly the case for aluminium, nickel, lead, and zinc. So they have really been off the radar for quite some time, and yet we're starting to see them turn into positions of outperformance, and iron ore prices today were firmer as well. So among the leading performers on the FTSE were Rio Tinto, Anglo-American, both iron ore producers. When we look at Europe, though, the FTSE was down about 0.5%, whereas the Italian index was down 1.75%, and that's being led lower by its banks, and the Eurozone banking sector remains under pressure. It remains the very big question mark that is hanging over the European markets, despite the fact that it is home to internationally based companies, and those continue to represent areas of outperformance. The downward pressure that we have on the domestic economy, which represents the largest single market around, is still a major headwind for those markets. So that really does need to be resolved before I think a lot of people will have confidence that they can start looking at Europe as a medium-term bullish opportunity once more. And on Wall Street today, the S&P was down just a tad, and so was the Dow Jones, whereas the Nasdaq was in positive territory. But the fact that you've had industrial metals doing better and some of the soft commodities also doing better, and that was particularly the case for cocoa, but also that both sugar and coffee have been relatively steady, and although they were down today, that wasn't in a dynamic fashion. But what we have seen is that oil prices continue to deteriorate, and WTI was down $1.50 in here today, and the Brent crude price is down to $42, and WTI was below 40 very briefly today. This continues to look like a right-hand extension phase following a type 2 bottom, and that followed the type 1 trend acceleration on the downside. So that suggests that we have not yet seen evidence of a short-term low in oil prices, but that this, if this is a developing right-hand extension phase, that we're going to be presented with some very volatile trading. and natural gas was down as well. Now, the fact that oil prices have pulled back and are quite clearly now in a corrective phase is beginning to be felt by some of the large cap energy producing shares. So the big shares like Royal Dutch or Exxon or Chevron have begun to unwind short-term overbought conditions relative to the MA, whereas the S&P 500 Oil Production and Explorers Index has been ranging in the region of the moving average and is looking increasingly likely that it is going to break downwards. And that is robbing the wider market of a source of relative strength, because they had been bouncing so very impressively, and certainly the oil sector has been lagging the decline in the oil price, but it is now playing catch up. So part of the reason that the S&P 500 is going sideways and has been going sideways for the last couple of weeks is because of oil prices, that it is weighing on the broader index, despite the fact that technology companies are taking off. And that's certainly the case with Amazon, Microsoft, Garmin, eBay, all really surging following their second quarter earnings announcements. And then we're also seeing the biotech sector turning back to a position of outperformance. So what we are most definitely getting is some sort of rotation following what had been an impressive move in the oil sector in particular. But of course, just because oil prices are pulling back does not necessarily mean that we're going to get a similar pullback in some of the resources, because the price of industrial commodities is still reasonably firm, and iron ore prices are coming off of very depressed levels. So we could start to see a divergence between the energy producers and the miners, and that certainly will be something to really watch, because you know, BHP Billiton hasn't really performed. And that represents a cross-section between energy and iron ore, because 40% of its revenue comes from energy. Whereas Rio Tinto has really been outperforming here because it has much less of an energy focus. So there's certainly a lot to watch. And meanwhile, government bond prices were a bit weaker in here today. And you know, with some of the very keen deflationary fears at least being unwound in here, then the potential is that that investors are looking on the bond markets as rather expensive at current levels. And the 30-year is trading at 173, and that was down a point today. So there is the potential that we're going to see those yields pushing back up to at least close their overextensions relative to the MA. And I think that is, reasonably, that Eurozone bond prices, with such a large number of those bonds in negative territory, then, and the ECB out there buying hand over fist, then the potential for a substantial rally in bond yields is looking rather unlikely, despite the fact that there is the potential for at least an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition. And of course, the other market that has been really quite weak are the grains and beans. And soybeans in particular was down 38 ticks in here today. It's back below 1,000 cents on the contract, and that really is starting to really accelerate on the downside at this stage. Whereas the flip side of that coin is that with lower grain prices, we're starting to see the price of the animal products starting to turn higher. And quite interestingly, what you often see in these commodity prices is that you get a change of trend after a contract change. And that has currently now potentially underway with lean hogs. Lean hogs had fallen from 90 to 60 since June, and we'd had a contract change over the weekend, and prices were up a bit in here today. So there is the potential that that accelerating downtrend could be switching around in here. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.